attacking purposeful football all the time. Now we're going to have backs against the wall and we're going to fight, and we're going to fight hard. You've got to show me all the guts and all the determination you've got in your body. You've got to inspire me.
A marvellous kick. That's as good as you'll ever see. And puts player back in front.
I don't know about you guys, but if I see one bloke walk out of here, give the pat on the back from people out there for a good effort, I'll spill up.
From inside the centre square, boys kick the goal. Boys kick the goal from inside the centre.
Hey back, welcome to Danny Boyd, podcast about the most frustrating football club in the known universe. That is the Footscray Football Club, Proprietary Limited, trading as Western Bulldogs. I'm Danny McGinley. Tom Boyd is there. I'm pointing at him.
I'm here. And it is round two, I think, or 2B or 2C or something. I can't remember the way this thing works anymore.
0.2.
But the reason we start with this, Danny, is because we can't lose hope just yet.
No, of course, there's no hope. Loss. There's
we
just
didn't have any to begin
didn't
with.
Have any to begin with. No, what are you talking about? We're look. It just feels every year we start by losing to the Demons, and it's just
being confused.
See,
I think this is the major thing that Dogs fans are expressing their frustration with, which is no one knows what things are going to look like next year, let alone what they're going to look like next week.
Yep.
And so when I spoke to one of my good pals yesterday who was he's a lifetime Dogs fan, he's like, I kind of want one of two things to happen. I want us to succeed, make finals or whatever, and have a decent year and celebrate the wins along the way, priority one. Or priority two, I just want to know whether Bevo's going to coach us next year or what the team's going to look like or what the hell we're doing as a club. Because it feels like we're a bit, you know, on the edge, even though it's only round two.
Absolutely, yeah. I think even West Coast Eagles fans have got a better idea of what their club's going to look like in a few years compared to us.
Yeah, well, hopefully better, right? Because once you bottom out, like this is the whole thing, right? It happens in a lot of sports, but the proverbial or the perennial teams who fall around the almost there kind of good, not quite there, or just make it, they're almost the most frustrating teams to be a supporter of.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, well, we're not bottoming out and getting our future, and we're also not topping out and being a threat to win the flag. So we're just stuck in the middle, and that's kind of the worst place to be.
Yeah, and with Tassie coming in, we should talk about that. Tasmanian Devils, the new
side.
Had to
be that name.
Oh, absolutely. I'm gonna say something controversial. I think the logo's terrible.
Yeah.
It looks dead. It looks like it's got that mouth cancer disease that a lot of Tasmanian Devils had, and it's just posing for a dental sort of examination. I mean, the colours look good. Just the mouth. Why has it got such a dopey mouth expression?
Here's my second criticism. This is the enemy now, you know.
Tassie?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're happy you have a team.
I was always happy to support Tasmania, and until they're now playing against our Bulldogs. But I sit there and I'm like, you bunch of liars telling me you've got 100,000 foundation.
You reckon? Oh, no, a lot of money.
No. I'm not saying they don't have 100,000. I'm just saying it doesn't mean anything.
Well, the 10 bucks each, that's $1 million.
Oh, well, great. Good on you. How many of them do they give away? We know for a fact, that club memberships are a complete rot.
Oh, how dare you. Just my goldfish has been a three-game member for many years.
Or a digital member. That's also a thing.
Yeah.
So what, you could pay $50 to sit at home and watch it on telly?
Oh, you get the KO for cheaper on that.
Oh, well, great. So we're supporting... we're not actually supporting the club then. We're supporting KO.
Murdoch's struggling. We do... with a lot of non-Bulldogs fans have become Bulldogs digital members because we have the cheapest KO offering. It's a genius. This is great. This is the sort of lateral thinking that brings the club in, and we could say we've got 20 billion members.
Well, yeah, exactly. We can say we've got 20. We can also say that we're going to win the flag, which is maybe
absolutely going to happen. Lids off.
Yeah. But in all, like, I mean, I love the Tasmanian team joining the competition. Yep. I love Tasmania. I've spent quite a bit of time down there over the years, both there and over in King Island. And go Tassie having a team is fantastic. What does 100,000 members mean?
You're like, a tinfoil hat.
No, it's not. It's just, it's a fact. It's a fact that these people aren't actual members yet.
Yeah.
Because what's a membership cost you typically?
Oh, well.
$300?
I guess so. Well, for the dogs, $70.
It's cheap at the moment. No, but it's a few hundred dollars. That's a very big difference to say, like, you know, the token interest that, you know, oh, Tassie's finally got a team. It's a 19th team. Great. This is awesome. What's the number 20th team that's coming in? Because you know that they're going to equalise the numbers and make them even.
Surely Northern Territory.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to make the most sense.
Yep.
But if it just has to have the market, because the AFL pretend like they care, but they care about making money.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, anyway, this is a Bulldogs podcast. We don't, you know, they were just speculating. Yeah,
but we're
going to
beat these teams by like 25 goals.
I hope so. Well, yeah, this is, but, you know, people are tuning in. We were discussing off air. We were discussing many things off air, listeners, just so you know, some very important things about which night is bin night in our different councils.
Oh, yeah.
What to do with soft plastics. By the way, there's a few Coles in the inner city. You can recycle your soft plastics again. There's an exclusive. But we also know, this is a well-known fact. I'm pretty sure I've said it on the pod. Whenever the Dogs lose and a disheartening loss like we had to the D's, ratings drop. So if you are listening right now, this means you're a hardcore fan, or you're one of those people like Chaz Licadello who just, when we're losing, just really sinks the claws in and re-watches replays and just tries to work out why it's going wrong.
Yeah, or you're a direct blood relative to one of us.
No, none of my relatives listen to this.
It is, and like, I think the most disheartening part about last week was it's the same shit over and over again.
Yes.
Which is, we seem confused when we pick our side.
Yep.
Then the confusion of who gets picked, like typically the people, the fans are like, why is that person playing here or why are they playing at all?
Yep.
They'd struggle a bit.
Yep.
And then we go, I could have picked a better team.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't have, but usually there's a reason. But then we also lose to our arch nemesis in the same fashion that we have previously. And like the thing that I said to people, and I mean this with as much humility as I can possibly muster, when I saw the team pop up for who was playing, I feel like I could have told you what was going to happen in the game. Like the key things, like we were going to get pushed around a little bit based on having a lot of small players playing. We were going to be a bit too tall with Jamara, Lobb, and Naughty all running for the ball in the forward half of the ground.
Yep.
And we were probably going to struggle down back based on Jones being our really only core key defender who's got experience.
Yeah, although Buku played amazingly.
Well, Buku also played on Ben Brown.
Yeah.
And Ben Brown is much, much, much bigger than Buku.
Yeah.
And pushed him around at times.
At times, but I thought Buku, that was one of the best games I've seen Buku play.
Yeah, I'm not here to knock Buku, but Buku shouldn't be playing on Ben Brown right
now.
You
don't
reckon? No. Ben Brown's got half a head on him, for starters. And Ben Brown is 32 and has kicked like a few hundred goals at the AFL level. And Buku's only played 15 games.
Yeah, okay.
So when I see Buku going up one-on-one against Ben Brown on the wing and Ben just pushes him out of the way, takes a mark and they kick goal, that to me is like, well, we have to let Buku learn and develop, no doubt. But he seems like to me that he's a third defender, not your centre-half back.
Yeah, well, but we could build him into a centre-half back. I definitely saw some green shoots, as Brendan Bolton would
say. Yeah, my old man used to always say this thing to me, which is that big guys are still big at the end of the game. And athletic guys are usually slower and tired and so on. And I think, again, like I can imagine Buku sliding across the pack with someone hanging on to Ben Brown and keeping him on the ground. That is like the perfect image of what I see Buku.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But if you see Buku standing side to side to a guy who's got 25 kilos on him, I'm like, this is probably not the best thing for his career.
Yeah. I'm thinking back to that fantastic win we had in 2019 against the Hawks where I think Caleb was playing on Jared Roughhead.
Yeah.
And we still won. It's one of the best top five wins of all time.
Which is always, we're always prisoner of the moment a bit where we go, if we think nostalgically back to those times, we have to, Tom. It's like nostalgic therapy. We were a different team. We were a team that played defense as a team. And like, I will harp on this to the day I die, which is that when you play that type of team defense that we were really good at, which we aren't now, we play very differently. You always get big forwards matching up on small players at some stage because you're always switching players and you're trying to maximize, obviously, the team's capability to defend and then attack. That we would always have, like, Tom Hawkins would always kick goals against us.
True.
And you'd have Roughhead and those guys playing on really small people. Like, why is that happening? And the commentators used to be like, oh, this is horrible. Like, why is this happening?
Yep.
And then we'd win because that was the point.
Yeah.
now we don't quite have that system to rely on. So when you see matchups that don't make sense, you're like, oh, this is not because we have a superior game plan at the moment. It's because we have a matchup problem.
What do you think the game plan is this year?
I don't know.
Still, I mean, don't know?
You watched it.
I was at the ground. You were watching on TV, admittedly with a two-year-old.
Yes.
So it's very hard to
two-thirds of the game I caught, I reckon.
Okay. And was there anything...
I missed the bit where we went from being 20 points down to 49, so...
Yeah, okay.
Or whatever that was.
You didn't miss that much. We started well. Remember, they didn't get a possession until we were like 13 points up.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
What happened? Why couldn't we do that for the whole game?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like there's a reason why, say, the fans focus on selection, and I think that's a fair reason, which is, you know, in days gone by, it wouldn't have mattered who played. You know what? It does. It always matters. But it matters less when you have like this system that is really key and well defined. Like the Hawks played these random players back in 2012, 13, 14, 15. And you're like, who are these guys? And they come in, they play well.
Yeah.
Because the system was so clear. We focus on matchups at the moment because we have on paper, which, you know, if you speak to anyone in professional sports who manages teams, the team on paper means nothing.
The game's not played on paper.
No, exactly.
It's played on that green thing out
but
there.
But we sit there and we go, our top 15 players are as good as anyone in the comp. Our top 12
the
players.
The CIA are coming, by the way, if you can hear that helicopter. Boydie lives right next to the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So we're getting
right
some,
next to.
Anyway, if you hear some motors, it's...
In one of north, south, east or west directions.
He's actually homeless. He lives in the lake.
Yes. You know that island in the middle? I've set up a tent there.
Things aren't good at home.
No. Well, Anna and Rani are with me, if that makes you feel
better. Oh, that's nice.
That is home.
Oh, that's good.
They're still not good.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this eel you've cooked for me.
Yeah. Well, mate, imagine the feast you'd have on one of those swans that go around there.
Man, we're getting distracted. Why don't we eat swans? I know, like, the queen owns them all, but, like, they look like a giant turkey.
It's sort of like it's halfway between a duck and an ostrich.
Sounds great. Brilliant. I've only eaten duck and I loved it.
Yeah, duck's great. Duck's Peking duck.
Why don't we eat more swan? If you know, please
It'd feed a small army, those things.
Hell yeah.
They're massive. And my dog loves trying to bite them. So I will ask her. Anyway, in days gone by when their system was really clear, it wouldn't matter who we brought in. So we'd have all these players and they'd be like, oh, they might be something. But, you know, it's almost unfair to judge some of our really young players as they come into the team because they're like, well, where do they fit in this whole equation? Yep. And if you look at the way that the teams are structured, it's like, okay, well, we have a very defined midfield, right? It's Bont, it's Treloar, it's English, it's Libba.
Yep.
And that is basically it. You know, we might have a little... breaks here and there, 5 or 6 minutes where someone else rolls through.
Occasionally McRae could pop in there, but apparently that's not allowed.
No, he's Jacko can't get a game at the moment.
That is the big thing. Like even on AFL Daily this morning where it was all Collingwood, St Kilda, Brisbane, every club, Damian Barrett still managed to go, oh, why isn't Jackson McRae playing? Which, you know, we know Barrett and Bevo don't get along.
No. But,
it would be nice to know why you're, I mean, you're still mates with Jacko.
Yeah, I mean, I don't talk to Jacko often. I'm not going to ask him about...
No, you're not that sort of mate. I mean, if you're new to this pod, something you should know is Boydie doesn't go to his mates who are still playing and goes the full journo on them.
I don't talk footy with them.
Yeah.
Ever. Unless, if I talk to them at all.
If they bring it up.
I did say go up to Leif Vandermeer, friend of the pod, other day. One of the pod family members, I would argue.
Absolutely.
He lives around me.
Great episode.
Saw him up at the park.
Bit of a whipping boy this week, sorry to say.
Well, you know, he's a bloke from Shepparton. They tend to go after the cattle dogs is the way about the way he plays.
If it wasn't for McNeil, he'd be public enemy number one. Oh. McNeil really copped it from all sides.
Yeah, small players. Anyway, I went up to Leith the other day and I said, it's a long year, mate.
What do you say?
Not much. I was chasing my child around, admittedly. It was more of a throwaway comment than anything. Okay. But look, I mean, Leith will be fine. I think he doesn't wear it too heavy, I hope. But... like, I just feel bad for... No, I don't feel bad. They're all playing AFL footy and this is what they're getting paid to do, right? Yeah. But the thing, it's not optimal as to players like Leith and McNeil and these particularly smaller players who need a very clear role. And in some ways, and I mean this without sort of demeaning them at all, they need a bit of protection, right? Mm-hmm. If you're 15 kilos lighter than the other midfielders and stuff, you can't be left out on your own to try and fend for yourself all the time.
Yeah. And look, we put up a thing on our social media asking us for questions. We've got a whole bunch of them. I'm going to just put them to Boydie as we go. But someone was talking about, are we too nice? You know, it seems only Libba flies the flag, although we don't really, even Libba's calmed down with the, you know, getting a bit of aggro in there. Is that just an issue, you reckon?
Yeah, I don't really buy into all that shit, to be honest, for the most part. Like, think about the fights that happen, fights, in quotations, they're about as big of fights as the NBA.
Yeah. It was Matthew who asked that.
So why does a fight happen between Essendon and Hawthorn the other day? Well, it happens because James Sicily is annoying.
He's very annoying.
That's not because he's tough. Like, I'm not – he's a great player, and he was in my draft year – and I never thought in a million years he'd play back, and he's been a great backman for him. So I'm not having a go at him, but he's annoying, and he starts fights all the time. And we don't have someone that's annoying particularly, but it's not to say that all the tough players in the NFL are starting fights all the time. Usually that's because they're super aggressive with their tackling, they're great contested players, they stand up for their teammates when something wrong
happens.
That's the one.
But so you've got an annoying player, an opponent like your Toby Green or James Sicily, yep, who starts getting on a McNeil or a Van.
Yeah.
What, none of our players except for Libba seem to then run and defend, fly the flag as they are. And is that possibly a factor of too nice?
I haven't watched it close enough to see like when that should have happened. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, it's more a general
question. Yeah, that's what I mean. The general questions are hard to like pinpoint like who should have done what.
Well, were you ever told by any coach, hey, go and defend the little fellas?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So did Bevo ever tell you to do it?
More like Kingy and Ash and those guys, like the line coaches more so.
Yeah.
And look, if we knew that say JJ or someone like that was going to get tagged, it'd be like, stand up for yourself. But I think this is the thing that we're missing, right? I don't think it's the flying the flag. Do you remember when Spud Ferrito tried to tag Bont? Or he tried to rev Bont up at Etihad, and it was like Bond had been on an absolute tear, 2017 maybe, 16-17.
Yeah, oh, this is for North Melbourne.
And the North Melbourne blokes all went after Bond. And yes. Bond fought, like went straight back at them. And
I think
he ended
it was 16
up,
or 15.
Maybe, yeah. And he ended up, maybe it was 15.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 15.
Yep. And he ended up having 30 and kicking two.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're missing. Because no one goes after Bond anymore, really.
Oh, so you're missing, not since probably 2019 elimination final. So we're talking more a fly the flag for yourself.
For yourself, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, so it's not a, I guess it's a team and an individual thing.
Mm. We just don't seem, people conflate poor performance with poor attitude.
Yes, we
it's,
do.
It's you, so... There's a question that I have heard from one of the shows that I listen to, which is, are you happy because you're winning or do you win because you're happy?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, what's the answer?
Great question. Well, my perspective is if you look at all the miserable clubs, their training is miserable.
Yeah.
The being around the club is miserable and they are losing, which is miserable. So, and there's obviously like the ticket to play to answer this question fairly is, are you good enough to win? So if you can't win, it's like you're probably going to be miserable anyway.
Yeah.
But in times gone by, the Bulldogs has been a great place to train, play, and be a part of as a footballer. I'm not certain that that's the case now. I don't know. I don't think it's like it used to be. I'm certain of that.
Yeah.
Well, if Richmond was the same. Hawthorn was the same. It's just Geelong have done it forever. Sydney have done it. They do the like really hard training bit, just particularly in preseason. But even those guys are not like your life should be hell.
Yeah, it seems to be like from just a showbiz perspective, I've worked on TV shows where there is it's toxic and you don't make a great show, but I've also been on shows where it's way too nice and everyone's loose.
Yeah,
and
it's the balance, right?
You just need – the best shows are like 80% hard, but then the 20% where you muck around is really fun.
Yeah, see, and I think it's as much about the mucking around as is making sure that that 80% of the time where you're working hard isn't longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember talking to a friend of mine and he was talking about sort of the changing of the guard that had happened at one of the AFL clubs. And he was saying the thing that the young boys who are coming in don't understand is we don't train that much. We've got this beautiful, fun atmosphere and yada. We earned that. We earned it.
Yeah.
And the reason we can have that is because we win and we play well and we do what we need to do and we know what we need to do to win. This then the young boys come in.
This sounds very Hawthorn. Is it Hawthorn?
No, it's not Hawthorn.
Oh, okay.
Good guess.
I got 17 to go.
Well, it's not the Bulldogs.
Is it Tassie?
Tassie never have won anything, let's be honest. And so then the young boys come in and like, oh, this is just normal. It's not normal. They earned it. And I don't think we have the earned it stage anymore. We're a long way removed from that premiership in 2016, which, you know, someone played in.
We both contributed.
We were key members. Hence why we do this podcast, to reminisce about it.
Two guys who peaked in the teens.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's a new title for it. Yeah,
peaked in 16.
That's good. Yeah.
So I'm not sure we have the like a lot of that sort of edge that you need comes from confidence in your playing and confidence in the team ability to win and so on and so forth. So don't like, there's another question in there, I think, about attitude or like, why do we look nonchalant or whatever, or not interested when other teams kick goals?
Yep.
To be honest, what do you want them to do? Like, you can't, what are you going to do? Sit there and be like, I'm angry. The thing is, like, I think we work backwards. We go, oh, well, I can see that. That's the issue. It's always the symptom. The cause is that we're playing shit and we've been playing shit for a while.
Yeah.
So we need to fix that bit. And then the confidence to stand. And look, the stand up for yourself, confidence, like dog in the fight stuff.
Yep.
They go hand in hand. But then they're like, oh, we look sad. Like, we don't look like we care that much when the kick goes. They care. And they're all sitting there going, geez, this review is going to be horrible on Monday.
Yeah. Is there a better motivation than just being...
No, that is... Well, yes, there is. That's the worst motivation.
Yeah.
Because all you build then is like fear and...
You do enough just to not get yelled at.
Yeah, exactly. And you become very self-interested because you're going... Yeah. Well, if I do enough, I'm not going to get targeted.
Yeah.
And essentially, you almost look over your shoulder and go, McNeil hasn't had much of a kick today. If I just do better than him.
Yeah, if I just not handball it to him now. Or if he handballs it.
No, not quite that bad. No,
all right, that's good. So does that answer the question that, I mean, Jared just put it perfectly. Why do we suck?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a team complexion issue. We've had it for a while. We just don't have the right mix of players who are good enough across the sort of major positions on the ground. And we look at it and we go, we've got three guys who are going to be making between 800 and $1 million in our forward line.
Yep. Hopefully, I mean, Jamara allegedly has re-signed, but hasn't been confirmed. We all got excited by, Channel 9 reporting it yesterday.
Yeah, Tom Morris reported it, I think.
But and it's nothing like, yet.
I don't like... at all when they say he's going to re-sign, whether it's for 2 or 4 years.
What would you like?
Well, 2 will get him to free agency.
No, only 4 will. 2. 2 is fine. This is according to Chaz Licadello, and I'm trusting
him. So 4 will get him to free agency?
Yeah.
Still 4. 2, you're going to have the same conversation 2 years' time.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And depends what we want is an 8-year one. Like,
yeah, I don't know if we want that either. It's like, because God forbid, like if you have enough of your... So, let's lay this out here, right? So, Norton signed a 10-year deal or whatever.
Whatever it was.
English is going to sign the same if he signs, and if he doesn't sign, we are royally up shit's creek.
You reckon?
Yeah.
We can't just bring in another ruck with all the money we save?
No, we cannot.
Okay.
Not like him.
Yeah, he is very good.
Jamar's going to sign for $1 million a year for whatever period of time. If he signs for 8 years, that means we've got 30%, or not 30%, probably more like 20% of our salary cap tied up in 3 key position players who historically don't play that well too long beyond 30.
Yeah.
Historically.
Yeah.
And there's 3 guys that we're presuming won't get serious injuries at any stages.
Yeah.
And they're all the same age, give or take a year or two.
So what contract do you want them to have?
Well, this is what I'm saying is it's really, really bloody hard. Because they'll want it and they deserve it.
Yeah.
But then we put ourselves in a position long term where we have so much exposure on our cap where we're like, if it doesn't work with these 3.
And you're speaking from personal experience.
Yeah, here. I'm speaking from as good an experience as anyone in perhaps football history.
So what's the solution? You're pointing out problems here. What's the...
I mean, I think we have to sign them. But it does. If it's going to be 2 or 4 years, I think that gives us a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
But they've already decided that Norton's going to be our long-term option.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that leads into another question that we had, which was, where does Norton play? Well...
Yes. Now, this is a common question. Everyone's saying, he's a natural backman. Put him in the back. But even I know that He's been training as a forward for the last, you know,
he's been training as
years.
A forward for so you wouldn't 90% of his AFL career.
Yeah. So you can't
so
like
you
just
can't guarantee
put him back.
He's got the he hasn't got the experience to play back that people think he does.
Yeah.
Natural back. Now he's a natural footballer, that's a different thing. He also, you know, he's not the greatest field kick or kick in general.
Yeah.
Here's what people, like as Dogs fans, if I can get them to just understand one thing, this
great.
Would be
it. What is it?
He kicked 50 goals last year.
Yeah.
Do you know how many players in the competition kicked 50 goals?
I don't know.
Maybe a dozen.
Yeah, about that. How many points did he kick though?
That's fine. Unless he's having shots.
Yeah.
Like you can't find, these players don't grow on trees. And to have someone that takes the best defender every week and is a threat to kick a handful of goals. He's a threat no matter whether he does or not. He's always an option to kick 5 goals.
Do you know what we should do? You know, do you remember, I mean, before your time, but you've surely seen footage. When people get their 100th goal of the season, everyone runs on the field and it's
I mean,
a big
before
event.
Before my time, it happened in 2008.
Yeah, well, before, were you born then? You were 13 when
yes,
that happened.
I remember watching that.
Yeah. Since the game's changed, we're not going to get that again, it doesn't look like. Get 50 goals, we run on the field.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
I just want to run on the field.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, my mate was on the field for Buddy's 1,000th goal. He said
Oh, mate. Limo and Mick Malloy ran on the field.
Oh, it's amazing.
They were both on before the game at the time. And just the umpires are going, what are you doing, you idiots? You are grown men.
So is everyone else. Yeah. Shut up, mate. Stop running and ruin the game. Yeah. This hasn't happened in, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
Since Dunst, who would have done
was it? Ablett, Dunstall, who else did it a lot?
Lockett,
of course. Yeah, I mean, Buddy got it last
Hudson
year.
Hudson didn't get it.
Paul Hudson. Peter Hudson did.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, he got 150 one year.
Yeah, I know, but 1,000.
Oh, 1,000 goals. Oh, right. 1,000 is, Dunstall, Lockett, Doug Wade, Gary Ablett Sr., and Gordon Coventry.
Right.
And Buddy Franklin.
So it's happened for, it's happened. It's probably happened twice in human history.
Yeah.
They didn't run on the ground back in Coventry's days, if I had to guess.
I think they're already on there.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, so the answer to the question on the Norton thing is like, yeah, the answer for me is, and I mean this with all due respect, is that Rory Lobb doesn't fit in that forward line with those other two.
Yes. Now, this was a question. What is your opinion on Lobb? This is from Gavin H, who is part of the woof.net, which is a great website. And Gavin goes down and watches training and puts reports up there. So if you're a Footscray Nuffy, like way more than Boydie and I, you want to get onto
way
Wolf
more
and,
than Boyd, way more than Boydie.
I mean,
and
that's not
more.
Hard. My 10-year-old is a bigger foot. Dog's Nuffy than Tom Boyd. But what is your opinion on the Lobb recruitment? Would you put him or Darcy as the second ruck?
Oh, it's such tough. I mean, I can't comment on Darcy. We just haven't seen enough of him.
I saw him in the practice match against Hawthorne's Little Leaguers and he did very well.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him ruck that much.
Yeah.
And we don't, like, to take it back to my experience, I was a forward who was rucking.
Yeah,
when it was working best. And I'd play forward and then I'd go in there and I'd come in for 20% or 30% of the time and I'd be going at 120% effort and the other ruckman would be tired and I'd get an edge. Then I'd go back to play forward and then I'd have to catch my breath. But when you're playing significant amounts of time elsewhere on the ground, you've got to be able to play somewhere elsewhere as your default. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to knock Tim off number one ruck spot anytime soon.
Well, unless he
never
leaves.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Anyway, stop being depressing.
So where does Sam play is the question. Does he play back? We don't have a centre-half back.
Buku.
Yeah, but Buku can still play and be a third back.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, yeah, sure. I mean,
because it's him and Caulfield then going for the same role.
This is what they want you to answer. You're just answering questions with more questions.
So the question, if Lobb doesn't fit in the forward line, where does he fit? That's the real question.
Is he a ruck? He does all right.
Yeah, but he can't ruck. He's not going to ruck the whole game. We've already established that. So, you know, from my perspective, I've seen him play. Like, when he was playing at the Giants, there were some games that he played as like a winger and then rucked as well. And he dominated.
Really? Chuck him in the wing?
Well, because he can run and he's tall and the Giants just kicked him in the ball on the wing.
Why don't we do that?
I think we tried it once or twice. I don't know how it worked.
We'll try it again.
Yeah. But like, regardless of Rory, the three of them can't play. It doesn't work together. It just doesn't work because they all want to kick goals and they're all like aggressive aerial players, probably in the order of Norton being the most aggressive, Jamara the second, then Roy the third.
There was at least twice when Norton and Jamara going for the same ball.
So you know how there's coach killers?
Yeah.
That's the fan killer. They hate that.
We do hate that. There's a part of me that likes it because it shows how desperate they are for the ball. And everyone says, oh, they're not talking. And I'm
that's
like,
an absolute load of shit. Like, you can't talk when the ball is coming from 50 metres away.
Exactly.
And you're both going, body my man.
Can't avoid you yell, who's in mine? Front of me.
Yeah, but there's also like, there's 36 players on the ground. It could be any mine. Is he on my team?
Mine, Jamara.
Yeah, I've never. And then what are they? Oh, the defenders are just going to be like, all right, you take
it. Oh, yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah.
Like the whole they need to talk is the biggest crock of shit that I've ever heard in AFL football, which is from fans. It's like, oh, yeah, these guys should just be like coordinating who's jumping at the ball. That all happens far, far before the actual marking contest itself, where they should be separated around the ground. And then once the ball converges, and this comes back to our ball movement as well, which is if our ball movement is erratic and it's bombs away, every forward who wants to, you know, is worth his salt is going to go and try and take a mark and kick a goal.
Yeah, this is the chaos ball we have. So yeah, they've got to just go wherever.
And we're not winning the ball through the middle of the ground that easily. Nah. Like, how many times in the game did you see Melbourne transition the ball from half back to their forward line and look like scoring or score easily?
A lot.
How much do we do it? Never.
I'm always thinking we're going to score. I'm always optimistic that we're going.
I'm optimistic too, but it didn't look easy. Never looks easy.
No. Yeah, we that's it. And in 15-16, we made it look easy. It looked like it would happen, and now
yeah,
it always looks like we got to tread through.
So, and I think, and I've said this 100 times in this podcast, and I will say it at nauseam. If Rory looked like a very capable second ruckman consistently, this whole thing would be a completely different story. But he, in my opinion, he's never looked like he enjoys playing there that much. So it makes it really hard because you're like, well, then he's not getting picked as a second ruck.
Yeah, right. And where does he go? Well, he goes on the wing. That's what
here's the thing, right? If someone was compelling enough and they have done this at certain times and good enough as a second ruck, they'd take Tim's ruck time down from 90% to 75%.
And then
give Tim 15% forward because he can take a mark and kick a goal, no doubt.
Very accurate.
He's impossible to line up on. And then you'd ruck your other guy 25%, 30% like we used to do. But like, if you don't have that option, you ruck Tim.
Yeah. Diane asked, how much do constant ins and outs affect our ability to play as a cohesive team? Is it better to have a core team with few changes or continually rotate players in and out? Now, I think it should be constant just for the player's mindset, but you answer as
the expert. Again, this is like another one of those things where the question is being asked backwards is if the team was stable, we'd be better because the team would be better.
Right.
Like if you think about like teams in gone by, the Bulldogs is us as a club has not always been great because we had a lot of injuries in 16, so we had a lot of fluctuation based on that. But we essentially had a bunch of guys who played every game. Shane Biggs played every game that year. JJ, Matty Boyd, Jordan Ruffett, like a lot of those guys played every single Bond played every game.
Dale Morris.
No, he didn't. He broke his back.
Yeah, but he still played.
No, he broke his back and missed a couple of games.
I think. Did he?
All right. And he broke his leg and he broke his
Yeah, but this all happened in a quarter and he was back on in the second half.
That's right. And he would always play. But the short-term answer is like, again, that's a symptom. The changing of the team is a symptom, not a cause.
Right.
Which is the team is not quite good enough yet. And so I think the nuance on that answer is you should try to give everyone who comes in the side a couple of weeks to prove themselves, unless something drastic happens. Because you can't expect players to earn their spot, which takes 4 to 5 weeks in the VFL. And then, like Toby is a good example last year.
Toby McLean.
Toby played so well in the VFL for so many weeks. He comes in and he gets subbed out in his 50th or his 100th game.
Oh, that was rough. Oh.
And then he gets subbed the next week, I think, and then he gets dropped or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was so vindictive.
That's not they've earned their chance. You have to let them try and succeed. And the game is so different at VFL and AFL level that you can't just bring them in for 5 minutes. And the sub is this another stupid thing, which, mate, Caleb Daniel being like the sub is one of the strangest things that I've seen in a long time.
Why'd you take off Riley Sanders? It was so – and by the way, that was one of the worst part of Sunday is when I rocked up to the merch stand and there's a big sign saying no Riley Sanders badges. I wanted a badge for his first game.
All the other comments were, that price is criminal, Danny.
Was it $7? Yeah. They used to be $5 just last year.
And they just do it in masking tape too, no Riley Sanders or whatever they put up there.
Well, they just clearly got sick of it.
The first thing my sister called me about, she goes, why did they take him? Like, you know, she actually texted me and she said, what is the coach doing? Or some version of that. And then she goes, I said, explain. And she goes, he subbed out Riley Sanders, who was playing really well in his first game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Tell us your theory about Bevo and his percentage, your weighted eccentricity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of something that's popped into, and I think, you know, hopefully this resonates with a few of the fans, because I think this is the symptom of why everyone gets so frustrated with him, which is if you think back to when we were really good.
Oh, I'm doing it right now. 15, 16.
And it was 90, like every week it was 99% or 98%, the exact same. It was contested footy. It was aggressive attacking. It was erratic ball movement that always used the like open side of the ground. It was fast. It was exciting. We'd handball an absolute shitload.
Yep.
And then we'd score like 15 goals, 15.
Yes.
And we'd win.
Yep. Oh, good times.
But that's this, like, I'll explain the metaphor afterward. But the other 2% was the shit that people, when it didn't work, people would be like, what are we doing? So there was games against Fremantle, right? Where I was playing on Aaron Sandilands. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Sandilands basically would just stand, if we had the ball at halfback, in the middle of the wing, and you just kick him the ball, right? So what we did,
because he was 3 meters tall and could just grab it at any point.
Yeah, and we just were like, you can't get around him. He was really good at defending that long kick down the line.
Yep.
So what we did was Bevo goes, Tom, you stand on the inside of Aaron Sandilands. And then
hang on. On the inside, so
on the inside.
I'm literally thinking you're getting in his mouth.
So keep Aaron Sandilands boundary side.
Okay.
And then pretend like we're going to kick it straight down the line.
Yep.
And instead, from center or from the back flank, we're going to kick the ball into the most dangerous part of the ground for us to defend.
The middle.
Which is the middle.
Yep.
on the side of the center square. And because you're on that inside, Tom, you're going to get there first. And we all know it's going there. And we're going to attack and score, even though it's so risky. And it worked so well.
Yeah.
And brilliant. Then they work it out, and then it doesn't work anymore. That 2% was like the seasoning on the meal.
Yeah.
That Bevo used to have.
The oregano on the margarita.
Well, more like the salt. Think about the salt. Like a bit of salt on a good steak. Like
on a potato cake.
Or whatever. It makes it so much better.
For the vegans listening. We're the Bulldogs here.
The problem is now what it feels like is that 75% of the stuff is the same every week and 25% changes. And if you put too much salt on something, as Chris Rock would say, it ruins the meal.
Yeah. I don't think that's exclusive to Chris Rock.
But he's got a joke about it.
He does.
He's got a good joke about it.
So we were 98% doing really good stuff with a bit of 2% of magic. And now you reckon he's attempting 25% magic.
It just feels like he's searching for that, you know, that big change or that magic formula.
Yeah.
Which, it's never a magic formula. It's always like what you have as your foundation. And then his brilliance as a coach has been, what if we did this?
Yeah.
Because they won't expect that. Like, we had times in 2015-16, we played 5 defenders against 6 forwards.
Yeah, that is weird. And it worked.
And we dominated.
Yeah.
Because we had an extra up of the stoppage. Or we'd play with, you know, guys behind the ball. Or we'd play, you know, Dunkley in the ruck, which admittedly didn't work that well. Or
we gave it a go. I do like this. I do. I think this is a great theory, and I think this is one that the Danny Boyd fan. So you people listening, both of you, because the ratings will be small for this episode. I think this is the theory we need to be spouting. This is the weighted eccentricity. There's too much salt. Problem is, like, we can't, if we put up a, say we lose to Gold Coast on Sunday with some bonkers thing of, like, you know, Bont subbed off halfway through the first quarter, and we put up on our socials just a big thing of salt, people are just going to think we're salty. We need a code just for the Danny Boyd listeners. Maybe MSG? Is there too much MSG on it?
I do like it.
We'll go with that. All right.
Or not enough or too much seasoning. Something about the seasoning, isn't it?
Yeah, seasoning. It's like, oh, you're too young for the castle. It's what you've done with it. Seasoning.
But and again, like, just to be clear, this is again a symptom of rather than the cause, which is if you're confident in your players and your team, you don't need to try and change everything.
So you think the main cause is Bevo doesn't have confidence in a lot of the players. Right.
I think so.
Okay, that's, there we go.
I'm sure he would, like, based on his comments about some of the players who didn't play well last week, I'd say that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. All right. So, say we beat Gold Coast on Sunday. This is coming out Friday, obviously, but I reckon a lot of people won't have heard this until before or after the match on Sunday. So, for the listeners who are tuning in, let's go worst case scenario first. We've just lost to Gold Coast. Where are we at?
Oh. Who we got next week?
we got round three. West Coast in Melbourne.
Okay.
Easter Sunday.
It's not completely dismal. Like, we're going to win this week. We'll put that on the table first.
Gold Coast?
We're going to win.
No. We're doing the if we lose.
Yeah, no. But we're going to win. But
all right, fine.
There's a good chance we lose.
See? Yeah, exactly. Man, Gold Coast are good.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Matt Rowell is finally coming into his own. Noah Anderson's a gun. Tuke Miller is... I would love him at the Dogs. He is so good. And
he's one of those players that's really annoying to play against too.
Oh, man. And I'm sure I've said this on the pod. I met his dad years ago, like 20 years ago, because his dad was trying to do stand-up. And he's a genuinely funny guy. And I remember the only bit of his I remember is he did a song parody of Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive, but it was all about how he had an enormous penis. Yep. He was like, I'm a cowboy on a steel dick, I ride. That's all I remember, but it slaughtered because he was a very charming man. And, you know, he does now. He busks in Cavill Avenue and you know, to be near his son. And he's such a charmer that he makes a lot of money.
Well,
do we all love Wiley
Miller? I thought we'd be talking.
No,
about.
Anyway,
but yes, Tuke would be amazing. And he'd be a great depth for our team. Anyway, we're not going to get Tuke.
No, we're not getting Tuke Miller. He's captain of the Suns.
Yeah, and he's been there for a long time. So, let me say this: Collingwood are going to be like they might burn the joint down next week because they're going to have to go play Brisbane, I think, up at the Gabba.
That's right, grand final replay,
and they're going to be 0-4.
Well, they're 0-3 now, and Brisbane play. They've got the bye. So Brisbane will be...
Well, let's just say Brisbane win. They're 0-4, which basically means, again, like the simplest way to think about it as any football fan is this is just maths. If you lose four games, you can only lose three more for the year.
Ah, yeah.
That's it.
Seven. Seven's
the pretty much the safe cutoff.
Yeah, okay. So we got six to go. Six lives left.
But that's what I'm saying. So will the world burn down if we lose to Gold Coast? No, probably not.
No, we got five left.
It's not good, though.
Yeah.
If we lose to West Coast.
Oh, that's Bevo done.
That new development is going to be gone.
All right. How's this for a positive scenario? Collingwood keep losing. They sack McRae. We sack Bevo. We get McRae.
Oh, we just trade.
Yeah.
Just a mid-season trade.
That's a great idea. That worked so well for Brisbane Bears and Richmond when they swapped Robert Walls and John Norley.
Don't think they're going to get rid of Flea too soon.
Nah.
I think what we should do to finish before we actually talk through is just do the rapid fire for whatever the other questions
are. Okay, sure.
Just I won't elaborate.
But a lot of them are pretty much the same. All right, here we go. This is, when do we start? Norma asking, how would the players have been feeling after Sunday?
Oh, terrified.
Yep, fair enough. Where should we play Norton?
Forward.
Cool. How could some players at a second rate get named over genuine elite talent?
Very strange question. Because Bevo wants them to be named.
Yeah, fair enough. Why do teams pick the Dogs to pieces?
We have only four players who play in our midfield, and then we have a lot of other players who don't, and then we're a bit small down back.
How do you fix the defence?
Oh, I don't know. Is Keith playing still?
Alex Keith, yeah.
We probably need a big guy back. I think he's been injured or something, hasn't he? We need some size.
Mate, it's summer. He's been watching the cricket.
Yeah.
When we had him on the pod, he talked about how he likes footy, but he always wanted to play cricket.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, mate, I was playing this game over in SA. I think we need a bit of size back there. I reckon what they'll do is they've said they're going to bring Darcy in. I reckon, they're going to play Darcy back maybe.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what they'll do.
All right. I think it's worth a try. Ben wants to know, is it time for Dogs fans to crack their heads open and feast on the goo inside?
I must say, Ben, I read that, not knowing it was a Simpsons reference, as Danny later informed me, and I laughed for good 5 to 7 seconds out loud. And my wife was like, what are you laughing at? And I explained it to her and she was like, what do you mean?
So to give you the Simpsons reference, it's a newscast and something happens and he's got an expert with him and he goes, do you think it's time for citizens to feast on each other's heads and the goo inside? Yes, I do, Kent. and Ted wants to know, can you stop typing and make me breakfast? Oh, yeah, that's when I stopped emailing.
Is that all the questions? I feel like there was a few more.
There was a few more, but I think we've answered them in there, like, are we too nice? Oh, okay, actually, Wilfred wanted to know. This is a great question. We sort of touched on this on another episode. Demons were playing their second match with a 10-day break. We were playing their first match. How much of a factor was that?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but not 49 points or whatever it was.
Yeah. 47. No, I think we've sort of answered everything. Pretty much all the questions were just, why do we suck? Why can't I be happy? Please bring me an insight into when I'll feel joy again, Tom.
Their massive character arc here is that the Tom that asked, how can you play second-rate players ahead of genuine premium talent, is actually me. That's probably the most interesting question, because I think it's like, well, they're usually it's positional. They're getting picked in positions that the other players wouldn't. Like, you're not going to play Jack McRae in Ben McNeil's position.
But it sounds like Bevo would. I mean, everyone always wins.
Well, it doesn't sound like Jack McRae is. Bevo would play Jack McRae anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, as evidence would have it, he's not going to play him anywhere.
It looks very much like
Jordan Rufford.
Yeah, Toby McLean, he's fallen out of favour with Bevo. We don't know why. We're not in the room.
We do know that Jack was in our top two or three in our best and fairest for 10 years straight.
Yeah, and he's not even 30 yet. So, like, this should be his prime, and we don't know what's going on, and we don't have answers, and we wish we did.
No, I don't wish I did.
Oh, really?
Well, as in, I could probably ask, and the answers are not going to be good. So
yeah, okay.
They're not like, I don't mean that in a sinister way. Like, Jack hasn't done anything wrong, would be my guess. But it's if the answer is, yeah, Bevo just doesn't like him, I don't feel any better about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. And so, where are you watching this week? I'm not going up to Ballarat. My son's got a practice match.
It's on Sunday, right?
It is Sunday, 1 o'clock.
I'll be at my grandfather's 90th birthday, hey. So I will be definitely watching.
Sweet.
It won't be exactly a rave. I feel, you know, I just don't have that. You know how we've spoken about previously, like, Ballarat should be the greatest place to play?
Well, you got to remember, Damien Hardwick didn't even like going to Docklands. So he ain't going to like.
And they look like it when we beat them there.
Yeah.
We beat Richmond. They didn't want to be there.
No. So how's he going to deal with a 2-hour flight and then a 2-hour bus ride?
Oh, I think he must have got his head around it.
I think he'll be on a few edibles just to soften the blow.
Very possible, given his newfound home. I don't have the same level of it's a fortress.
Oh, no.
At this time of year, no. with how Gold Coast are going now.
Did we lose to the Crows there last year? No,
we've
two
lost
years
a
ago.
Few. We've lost a couple of games up there recently.
And we should not be losing any of them. Also, it's too early in the year.
I was just about to check the weather.
Check the weather. Let's do that right now. What is the weather in Ballarat this Sunday? Because it needs to be cold for us to have an advantage over the Suns.
Yeah, it needs to be freezing. It's going to be 20 degrees.
Ah, no good. No good. Although they've been...
How is this a sentence? Ballarat, partly cloudy. Slight chance of shower near the coast.
In Ballarat?
Which coast is in Ballarat? I'm not sure this weather's reliable. And then near zero chance elsewhere. Someone's taking the piss with this.
Is that near the creek at Sovereign Hill?
Yeah, or like Lake Windery. That's got to be what they're talking about. Like, this bloke's just, someone's just snuck something in.
This is the Bureau of Meteorology. They've been gutted by the government funding. Anyway,
they really don't have many friends in the farming community anymore.
We're going full 3AW here. Yeah. Anyway, give us a call. What's your favourite bin?
What's going to happen this weekend, mate?
Look, there's no point being negative. We should beat the Suns. It'll be too cold for them. There'll be a firecracker put up our players. I think we should come out. I don't think it'll be easy. I think it'll be a scrap, but I think we'll get ahead. Oh, probably 15 points I'm looking at here. And
their Collins bloke matches up pretty well and Naughty too.
Does he?
Well, remember there was all that footage of... Bevo submitted all of those clips last time we played it.
Oh, that's right. Of all the
well, it was sort of like the semi-hanging on. It was kind of like I was just sitting there going, I appreciate Bevo doing that. I really do. I wish it had happened in my career, but it never works.
Yeah.
It never works. And it always sounds sooky.
Mate, I think coaches are paid to be narky. Good on him.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be friends with people.
Nah. He's definitely not.
He's doing a good job. I think...
What do you think happens?
I'm going to have to... Like last week...
And we're doing a Patreon episode next week. So if the free-to-air listeners... What's that? What, are we going to beat West Coast on Easter Sunday?
Yeah, I think... put it this way. If you're listening to this now, all three of you...
If you're listening to this now...
My advice would be get onto the Patreon because
oh, yeah.
if we lose this week... There'll be some real conversations happening on the Patreon.
Yeah, and in case you don't know, Patreon's where we get a bit more honest. We try to be happy clappy on here, but there will be no holds barred, no beg your pardons.
Well, me and Danny are really in the same room for the Patreon, and we just stare at each other into our souls from the other side of Melbourne and go, what is fucking going
we
on?
We have to do it over the internet, otherwise we just end up crying and hugging.
Yeah, well, we go to the pub. We all just open a bottle of Jameson. Yeah, I'm going to have to say, last week I just said, oh, we're going to win, which, to be honest, I had my doubts.
Oh, we all had our doubts, but I still believed it.
This week I feel so compelled to provide two lenses on this to the fans from an
officer.
So my Bulldogs mindset goes similar to where we were last week, which is like maybe we win by 2 to 3 goals.
Brilliant.
In Ballarat.
Yep.
What's and we have some, you know, we've still got some great players and... I don't know if they're going to kick a bunch of goals on us, but their back line's pretty strong. Anyway, we'll probably match up okay.
Yeah.
My other side of me goes, we're probably 4 goals worse off than them.
Ugh, that's not good. That's not good.
It's a good threshold, though. 7 goals is about right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between your negative and your positive.
Hey, one last question from our number one Patreon, Superb Mario. How much should difference match simulations against one each other as opposed to preseason matches? Because our preseason matches, last year we played North, who were, you know, bottom of the ladder. And this year we're playing Hawthorn, which is injured, and they threw in some Oz kickers.
Yeah, I don't know why. So let me just shine a light on this. That there's
Darcy is in. That has just been announced, by the way. Oh, we said that at the start.
Yeah.
Oh, well, just my, one of my
leads sent it to me. Got announced ages ago.
All right, fair enough.
16 minutes before we started when I told you then. there's a lot of politicking, friending stuff going on with like practice games because it's like a club friendliness thing. But you can't – like one, match sims are really important at the club level and you can see the difference between those players who are good and not good and had a good preseason and all that. I made a lot of my bones in 2016 playing really well in match sims.
Okay.
String of the year before.
Yep.
So really important from an establishing yourself point of view. It means – absolutely nothing for the season, obviously. Preseason is like obviously the next step in the right direction. But when we play in the format that we did, which is like 17 quarters against Hawthorn.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's not going to provide like,
and who
that's
chooses
not a
that?
Full match rehearsal. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a scheduling thing or I don't know.
We've been screwed on that.
I don't know. AFL's but then what you want, and Bevo was always massive on this, there's going to be one game that is a full-blown dress rehearsal. He was massive on this.
Yep.
You are going to get selected on the same time you normally would. You're going to get trained the way. You're going to separate as two teams. Everything. Everything's going to be picture perfect for round one. We did it against Collingwood. We did it against Melbourne maybe one year.
Was this seniors versus reserves or was it a mix?
No, no, not for simulation. This is when we would play a practice game.
Yeah.
So the last practice game, it would be, sorry, yes, first and seconds. Whoever's playing in the practice game, we wouldn't have extras on the bench. Like, we'd do it properly.
Okay.
We didn't do that this year by the looks of things. And maybe it was just impossible to do so.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to have something. So, it, you know, if you don't do that, you run out in round one like it's, you know, not – you haven't prepared.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we didn't – like, we still look pretty good to start the game. We
just, absolutely. But, yeah, we're playing North last year and playing Hawthorn this year. I think we need to – you know, next year we're playing Tassie. They won't even have a team yet.
Yeah, or West Coast. West Coast, well, West Coast over here, over there.
Haven't Tassie signed like one player? And it's that the she's an AFLW player. She helped launch it, but she's still like 16. We're just going to play her.
Yeah, we'll just get Gil and all the blokes.
She'll still beat us.
All the Gil and all those blokes who put the deal together.
Yeah,
right against us.
Gil's playing on a horse,
and we win by like 25 goals. Then we go out and say, "This is the most prepared we've ever been."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The membership goes massive. We get more members than Tassie.
Well, that was like, I tell you what, that was the other thing the internet told me. It was, goes, more prepared, more fit than we've been in years.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, the fans did not like that after we lost.
No, I know. Oh, God.
You can't, like, this is the problem with saying stuff like that.
But what else are you going to say? This is why our social media needs to be mostly comedy. If you notice St Kilda's social media is really good.
Yeah, GWS are good.
GWS are great. St Kilda's is really good. The guy who does St Kilda's, he used to work at Melbourne Victory, and he was really funny there. We got to headhunt that bloke.
Yep.
He's really good. Yeah, I've got his number.
There's a reason why it's called Kylie. Comedic Relief, isn't it?
We need that. Hey, we won a flag when we were the funny club. That's all I'm saying.
We need relief more than anyone. Where did we land?
We land with just a little bit of optimism.
Great place to watch footy. Weather's going to be good, except if you're near the coast of Ballarat.
I'll be surfing.
That is one of the funniest things I've read.
And look, if we lose, we will bash open each other's heads and scoop the goo out and eat it.
Come join the misery next week on the
Patreon. If we win, join the Patreon anyway, because we're lids off.
Oh, mate, well, we'll be abusing everyone who's criticised us.
Damn straight. All right, well, good luck. Hope your team wins. All you can rely on is me and Boydie aren't going anywhere. We'll be with you through thick and a lot of the thing coming up.
I gave my childhood to that roll of the red, white and blue sea. And the knowledge that you had to love the Bulldog boys and me. 20 years on, I feel that longing hanging in September air. But the reason I go every week is to pretend you're still there. And they will find the glory one day, and I will throw it at your feet. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the dogs of Footscray Street. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the dogs of Footscray Street.